words, my eyes, that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me centered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with thee. When I'm worried through my mind, let me sweet contentment find. May I run this wicked race, filled by your amazing grace. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, comfort me. Oh, Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed. In God's bosom, lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior's face. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, rescue me. Watching them, for you know not the day when the Lord shall call your souls away. If you labor striving for the right, well, you should wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown when the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Be not like the foolish virgin Tim, for he is coming and you know not when. Keep your lamp all trimmed and burning bright, and you shall wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown when the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. And if at last you hold out till the end, Jesus is an everlasting friend. If you stay within the church he found, then you shall wear a gold than crown.
Morning. If you have your Bibles with you, would you please turn to the book of Haggai? I'll be reading out of chapter 1 and chapter 2 today. If you're looking for it, it's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. I know it can be a little hard to find. All right, starting with verse 12 of chapter 1. I'll do my best with the names. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, thank you, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Reading in chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of the hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. May the Lord have a blessing on those who read, hear, and do His Word.
Amen. The Song of Encouragement will be page 28 in your Praise and Praise Him. I have decided to follow Jesus. 28b. For the speaker of the hour, please notice page 33 in your Praise and Praise Him. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. And He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. And He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. And He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. And He keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over again. And He keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over again. And He gives sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by.
are blessed to be here this morning. We have seen another day to give all glory, honor, and praise unto our loving God. He has allowed us to be here to send up the songs, send up prayers, and to focus on all the goodness that he has shown upon us. We thank him because he loves us even when we don't love ourselves. God shows in so many ways how much he cares for us. We are glad to see all of you all that are here today. And I don't know how long I might not be. This whole week has been a spiritual struggle with this, even this particular message. And we might find ourselves going back to the old time preaching. And what I mean by that, some of you all are pretty much accustomed to the standard teaching. But what I would like for us to do today is to focus on what God expects of us, what God wants from us, what God requires of us. And I really and I truly want us to, before we leave this place today, examine our lives, examine ourselves individually. Don't look around at anybody else, but look within your life, look within your heart, and consider your ways and see if the ways that you are living, the ways that you are walking, are ways that are going to be pleasing and acceptable unto God. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Beloved God, our Father, we thank you again and again for all of your blessings. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for just seeing after us the way that you always do. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, your Son, and we just ask that you will continue to guide us with your Spirit and allow us to grow and to develop into what you would have us to be. Father, allow us to examine ourselves and to look into your word, knowing that you loved us so much that you would not allow us to go through this life of troubles without some direction. And we just ask that we will look into your word and see the great riches that are within it and draw from those riches. And Father, just take them in and apply them to our lives so that we might be better at being your children. Father, we ask that you would just continue to bless this church family and all that we do, that it might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and that we might make a difference in the lives of one another as well as in the lives of those in this world who know not Christ. We just ask now that you would just walk with us throughout this day, and that all that we do will be acceptable to you. This is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen. Shaken but not stirred. Well, some of you all, if you know anything about James Bond, you know what that means. That's not what this lesson is about. This lesson is coming from directly from the Word of God. Because we find in the church many times, and even in all of our surroundings, whether in our work environment, our home environment, and within the church environment, we find a lot of people are shaken, but very few people are stirred. What are we talking about? Well, you know, when you study the book of Haggai and you see how Haggai dealt with the people of God through the inspiration of God, and you saw what happened. You see, during this time, these people had no longer been captive in Babylon, and they were about 16 years out of captivity now, and they had been striving to build or rebuild the temple. And it seemed as though they were dragging their feet. And the temple was not getting built. And God took this, whom some refer, and scholars, of course, refer as a minor prophet, mainly because you don't have a lot of writings, a lot of prophecy from him. God took Haggai, and he spoke through him to the people of God. He spoke through him to the governor, and he spoke through him through others, and through his speaking, these people got up and they began to work. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of chapters in the Word of God to get people to get the point. Sometimes it just takes just a little stirring that will allow people to see just what God not only has in store, but what God is capable of doing in the lives of his people. I believe that there are always some witnesses that will speak of the greatness of God and the power of God, but there are so many individuals that have not yet been privileged to be true witnesses because they have just not seen all of what God is capable of doing. And so we want to look again into this great book and see why there are some who are shaken but not stirred. In chapter 1, beginning at verse number 2, it says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land, and the mountains, and the grains, and the new wine, and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. God, through Haggai, speaks to the remnant of the people of God. This little tribe of Judah who have come out of captivity. They are now free from their enemy. And they are dragging their feet. And God addresses their lifestyle. And he says, it is, in paraphrase, it is so easy for you to leave the house of God and go to your nice paneled house. It is so simple for you to do this and you eat, but you notice that you just don't have enough. You drink and you still not feel. You got money, but your money goes into a bag filled with holes. When are you going to get it? He even goes further and he says that there's going to be a drought. He says, I'm going to withhold the dew or the rain from the skies. I'm going to stop the vegetation from coming up from the ground. Why? Until you understand that my house comes first, your house will have nothing. And so he begins to tell them all of these things, trying to wake them up. It seems to me that things never change. Because even in this day and time, people still have a tendency to ignore God and his house. And we strive for everything in life. We strive for the best house. We strive to eat the best food. We want to drive the nice cars, wear the best clothes, have all the money to do whatever we want to do. But you know what? God watches us. And he says, okay, if you're going to put me second on the shelf, then everything that I provide, you see, the stuff that you have did not come by your power. The stuff that we possess, we did not acquire it. It is a blessing from God. And when we have these things, we should be thanking God every day for what he gives us and striving and running to do work in his house. Consider God's effect on man. I want to talk and just give you all 2 points today. First, I want you to consider those that are the shaken. In verse number 7 of chapter 2, beginning there, it says, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. what God is beginning to do here. He is beginning to set the minds of the people on focusing on building, rebuilding the temple because of the benefits that come with the temple. And he begins to tell them, you all are going to be the envy of all nations. And he goes on to say, all the silver is mine and all the gold is mine. They're going to be drawn by you. And then he says, the glory of this temple here will be greater than the old temple. Let me tell you here from this text who the shaken are. He says that he was going to shake all nations. And as a matter of fact, he talks about shaking the heavens and the earth. Now, the word shake here from the Hebrew means to make afraid or to make to tremble or to quake, causing the world to revere. You see, there are those of us in here that have a great fear of God. As a matter of fact, I believe about everyone in here has a true fear of God. A fear that would cause you to stop and recognize who he is. You might not do it all the time, but from time to time, you will stop and recognize that God is in control. You're going to stop and you're going to recognize that you can't handle certain things in life without God, and you need him. And so what God is saying here is that he was going to shake up the world and get the world to recognize who he is and to draw the world to this great temple that was going to be rebuilt, which is called, or which he refers to as, the desire of all nations. And look at what he says was going to be in this temple. He says, first of all, there's going to be prosperity there. He says, because the gold is mine. And he says, and the silver is mine. One thing that we must recognize as being children of God is that our Father, our God, has cattle on a thousand hills. Our God ain't broke. Our God is not worried about a recession. Our God is not even a citizen of the United States. Therefore, whatever goes on in America, it don't hurt God, because God has an account in heaven, and everything that he has is paid for. It is his and nobody else's, and it don't run out. And so we've got to realize that God has all, and if I'm a child of God, I got some of it. And so in the desire of all nations, or in this great temple, there, my friends, is prosperity. Now, people say, oh, yeah, you don't need to be preaching that. Let me tell you something. Number one, I don't like being broke. I don't like having nothing. If I got a hole in my sock, I want to be able to go and buy new socks. If I got a flat tire, I want to be able to get a new tire. If I want something nice, I want to be able to get it every now and then. I ain't greedy. Don't ask. Now, I'm saying that because of this. Many times, people have been misled with the idea that it's all about what you got. It ain't all about that. But every now and then, God doesn't mind you going and getting some of what you want. But he's going to supply everything you need. And so we have no reason to talk about what we don't have if God is your Father. And so, in the desire of all nations, there is prosperity. And another thing, there's progression. You see, he says that the latter is going to be greater than the first. Now, we look back at the church and how great the church was in the first century. I would think that by now that we would have progressed spiritually. That we would have progressed to the point that the things that they were doing back then was just a blueprint of greater things to come. And so in God's vision, even with his people now, he would want our condition today to be greater than the condition of the church originally, but it ain't so. God said the temple back then was going to be greater than the temple before then. But it wasn't then. You see, as I even said last week, you see, God visualizes things different than we do. Because while we are going about our everyday lives, God is sitting there and he has a plan for our lives. God is looking at all of our lives and God says, you know what, you could potentially be here. And you could be potentially there. And you could be doing this. And you could be doing that. And God sees all these great things in us. Don't you think that God doesn't have a plan for your life that you haven't started following yet? Oh, yes, he does. Because God did not save you in his kingdom for you to be decoration. I mean, look, there are quite a few good-looking people in here, but I'm going to tell you, there are even better-looking people everywhere. There's always somebody. Don't think you're just that pretty. There ain't somebody that's better-looking than you. So God ain't caught up in decoration. God is looking on the inside, and he's trying to find out who is going to allow me to lift them up and put them where they ought to be. Oh, there is prosperity, but there is also progression. But the beautiful thing here is that there is peace. He said that there was peace. You know what? We are all going through our issues in life. We are at different chapters in our lives. Some of us are just starting out in life. Some of us are just starting out with young children. Others have raised up children. Others already have grandchildren. And others even have grandchildren that have children. And we're at different chapters in our lives. Some of us are just starting out in careers. Others have moved up the ladder on our job. Others have already retired or getting ready to retire. And so we have all of these things going on in our lives, but also that with these things come the challenges and the struggles of life. And sometimes we go through one day after another without peace of mind. Oh, we go through one day after another just in turmoil. We're worried about bills. We're worried about relationships. Sometimes your marriage hasn't turned out to be what you would have hoped that it would have been. Sometimes your children have not turned out how you would have hoped that they would have turned out. But see, one thing we have to understand is this, is that as long as there is time, there is time. And so things change in time. Don't think that your circumstance, don't think that your situation is going to always be the same. But the thing is, when you begin to trust God and when you start investing in God, then you find peace. And when everything is breaking loose all around you, when all Sheol has broken loose, and y'all, if y'all don't know what Sheol is, I'll tell you later. But when all of that has broken loose all around you, and you are still cool, and your mind, you, as as the song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And my focus is all about what God is going to use me for today. Oh, I'm at peace. I ain't worried. What y'all sweating about? What you crying about? What you upset about? God is in control of my life. You see, because we have that mindset, when I know that I'm never going to be broke when I have a God. You see, God said, the psalmist said, I was young, but now I'm old, yet I never saw a righteous forsaken or his seed beg bread. You see, if God is my father, I shouldn't beg. All I have to do is ask. And so with that in mind, prosperity in the progression, I should be better than I was last year. I should have already matured and already see where I need to be next year. And then I should have that peace of mind. And so you have individuals, though, that are what I call the shaken. And those are the people. Let me tell you who the shaken are, because some of us are the shaken. The shaken are the people that hear the word of God, and at that moment, it impacts them. At that moment, it shakes them up. At that moment, they do a self-evaluation. At that moment, they start talking to God. At that moment, they start confessing. At that moment, they say, you know, I need to do better. At that moment, they realize that their condition isn't what it needs to be. At that moment, they are shaken up. Let me tell you about the stirred. In chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit, now look at this, the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Sometimes people wonder, why isn't the church going in this direction? Why aren't we doing this, that, or the other? One of the reasons why, because all the people ain't on the train yet. It says the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked. Look at all of them. From the governor down. Or the son of the governor. And then the high priest, and then the remnant of all the people, they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Who are the stirred? In Hebrew, that term stirred carries the idea of the opening of the eye. To awake, awaken, lift up yourself or raise up yourself. You see, everybody in here has been shaken. Everybody in here from time to time has that fear of God. Everybody in here from time to time realizes in their mind what they ought to be. And for that moment, for that very moment, you stop and you examine yourself and you say, I'm going to do better. Then you get in the car, you go home, and you watch the Super Bowl. But here, these people were stirred. You see, God only shakes up the world, but he stirs his people. He shakes up the world, but he wakes up his people. You might get a little shaken up and a little upset at your condition, but when you go home and you get on your knees and you pray and you talk to God, and then you start making a plan of how God can truly use me, and starting today, I'm going to be a better servant of God. I'm going to do those things that God expects of me. I'm not going to sit around and wait for somebody to tell me. I'm just going to start working. I'm going to start doing. You know what? When you have a problem around the house and you know nobody else is going to do it, what do? You start trying to figure out a way to solve that problem. You start figuring out a way how to fix that issue. You start working on whatever it takes to troubleshoot it and to get on the right track so that you can eliminate the problem. From a spiritual perspective, we have to do that same thing. We have to get to the point that, hey, look, nobody, and I promise you, nobody, not your preachers, your teachers, your best friend, your mama, your daddy, granny, grandpa, cousin, auntie, uncle, Junebug, nobody is going to get you into heaven. No one. No matter how close your relationship with them and no matter how closer they are with God, they won't be able to talk God into getting you into heaven. Therefore, what I need to do is this. I need to work out my soul salvation in fear and trembling. Now look at this. You have both the shaken and the stirred in there. Let me show you. Your work, that means you're stirred. See, the people who work, like in the previous verse, they were stirred up by God to work. They were awakened by God to work. They were shaken by their fear. But let me explain something else to you. Peter writes, therefore I remind you to stir up. No, Paul rather writes to Timothy. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now let me explain something there so that you won't go away saying, well, now you say you're not supposed to fear, and then you say you are supposed to fear. Let me explain to you what that is saying there. What that particular text is saying here in 2 Timothy 1, 6, and 7 is, first of all, you need to stir up that God that's in you. You need to wake that up. That's somewhere buried deep down inside, asleep in you. That gift that God has placed in you, that ability to carry out his will, you need to stir that up. If you notice, Paul did not tell Timothy, I'll be over there to stir you up. Now, mind you, the word of God can stir us up, and there are other scriptures where they say, I'm going to stir you up, but the thing is, the stirring up really has to come from inside of you. You have to be aware of your situation, aware of your condition, but also know what's in you. You know what's in you. If you didn't know what was in you, you wouldn't be in here. You're already aware of what's in you, and so what you have to do, you have to stir up what is in you, and then it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Let me explain that to you like this. God doesn't want you to fear anybody else but him. Because nobody else can really touch you when God is in control of your life. And so what he is saying here, what Paul is telling Timothy, ain't no need of you worried about any of these other situations or being scared. You just need to go ahead and do what you need to do because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. If anything, you better fear God. But don't fear your situation. Don't fear what could happen or what might happen, because all that time, this is Satan whispering to you to make sure that you don't go to work. And so what we need to do is to be shaken and stirred. But too many times, people are shaken and not stirred. So you need to use that fear You need to realize what could happen, because you never know what day judgment is going to be. And one day we're going to all have to stand before God. And you know what? If I'm going to be shaken, I'm going to be shaken, because I know that I've been working, and I just hope that God receives what I did. I don't want to be shaken and hide because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And so you need to be shaken and stirred. Just off some of them old moves.
Thank you.
God wants you to be stirred up. The Word of God needs to stir you up. The Word of God needs to be in you. The Word of God needs to come up out of you, so that not only God can see, because He knows what's there, but He can see it coming out. He can allow it to be manifest, so that the world can stand back and say, that is the desire of all nations. That's where I want to be. Those are the people I want to be involved with. Those are the people that I can see prosperity coming from. Those are the people that I can see progression coming from. Those are the people that I can find peace with. When you do that, Lord have mercy. Because once you get the shaking up thing, and once you get stirred up, then you can turn the world upside down. So I'm here today. We're about to close. You might be able to leave and eat brunch. If you're here today, don't allow this message to just shake you up. Allow this message to stir up the gift that is in you. Allow this message to be a catalyst for the great things to come at this church, in this community, and beyond. And just remember this day, mark this day as the day that I made up in my mind that God is going to use me to the max. Let us stand. If you're here today and you have not put on Christ, if you have not truly committed your life to the Lord, if you would just believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and was buried, and He rose again after all the suffering and everything that He had gone through, He rose up with all power and authority in heaven and earth. If you believe that this truly happened, this is your first step to being stirred up. But then you need to look within your life and see the emptiness, see the barrenness, see the nothingness, and make up in your mind that I am ready to live solely for the Lord. Then after that, confess the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus just wants you to confess His name so that He can confess yours. Then when you are buried in the watery grave of baptism, rising in the newness of life, God stirs you up. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you begin walking in the newness of life. When you truly are stirred up, your life is going to change. When you are truly stirred up, your life will never be the same. When you are truly stirred up, church, the church will never be the same. You won't even recognize things like they used to be, because things will be so different. When you are truly stirred up, you will go home and things will no longer be the same. When you are truly stirred up, you will go to school and things will not be the same. When you are truly stirred up, your job won't be the same. Your marriage won't be the same. Your family won't be the same, but they will be better. So, everyone, consider your ways. And if you're just shaken, it's time to be stirred. Let God use you, because God has some stuff just waiting on you. He has some things waiting here on earth You won't even have to get to heaven for some of the things that God has in store for you if you would just stir up the gift that's in you. Let us say.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow.